But when you're training, you're allowed to put someone else in a headlock to the point that they become
Well, you're supposed to tap. If you don't tap, you're going to take a nap. Yeah.
That's scary. I don't want to pass out.
The only way you're losing, really, is if you don't learn from it. You know, if you go out there and you don't improve off it, then it's a loss. But if you get dominated, you got to, like, look at it and see what happened so you can get better off it. I think the best thing I could say is just try, right? Like, I said it earlier, like, I'd rather try and fail than not try and look back and be like, oh man, I wish I would have done that. You know, like, I've seen a lot of people in my life where they had a lot of goals and they never kind of put that forward. They always, like, pushed it off, and they never really got to have that shot to try.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the most important thing, like, even if I don't succeed, you know, at least I try.
Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made.
Hey, que lo que? Welcome to Bronx Girl at Heart presents Casa Confessions, a space where young bosses and creatives confess funny and harsh truths about their come up. I'm your host, Alani Santigua, and we just kicked it off with a guest this time. Usually we do this whole suspicious introduction, but we have someone here. We have Alex Cassiano.
What's up, guys?
Step it up. So nice to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And I'm going to just let you introduce yourself how you would prefer.
Sure. Hi, guys. I'm Alex Cassiano. I'm the host of a Snapchat show called Punch Up. So go check it out. Give me a follow. Let me know what you think. Hit me up on Instagram, East Coast_AC, or Punch Up _official. My page is private, but you could always hit me up there.
Yes. So LR, the co-producer, he put me on to Punch Up, where you're basically reacting to crazy videos related to sports. Usually I feel like they're like wrestling or throwing themselves off of things, MMA
so it's,
fighting.
It's all based off the fight community. Anything fight related I could use.
Okay.
My only guidelines they don't have me use is anything street fighting. I gotta have a ref there somewhere.
Got it.
So sometimes I teeter the line, I get like street beefs in there and stuff. But basically I did like the way I see the show is like a Bronx version of Tosh.0. You know, we used to have that shit growing up. Yes. So I was like, all right, let's change it up. Take inspiration from him. And we're at like 210K followers now.
Wow, that's so... Clap it up.
I appreciate
210K.
That.
210K. Damn. That's amazing. Yeah,
appreciate
goals,
that.
Goals, goals. But you as a Latino and in this media, social media space, do you think that was important? Is that something that came up when you were pitching the show, like Punch Up?
Kind of. What I try to do whenever I do these things, I try not to attach myself to too many things. I try to keep it just genuinely me because I want you to like me for me. I don't want you to like me, just because he's a Latino male. I don't want you to like me just because, you know, I've lived in the Bronx. I don't want you to just like those aspects of me. Like me for me.
Okay.
And, I'd rather fail as me or succeed as me than just because I'm attached to a certain thing.
Yeah. You know, I battle with that too. I think at first, I think that's what I thought for myself when I was younger.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to attach myself just personally
to
like my community or anything. I wanted to, I didn't want people to think that I had to have certain interests because of where I'm from.
Yeah.
I didn't want people to think that I needed to like a certain type of music because of where I'm from or I needed to behave a certain way. So I think when I was younger, I distanced myself from a lot of Latinos and a lot of Dominican people. Yeah. But now that I'm older, I think you kind of have like a reckoning.
That's kind of happened with me where I've kind of come back to it. Like I said, I'm going to Puerto Rico more often. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying that side of my culture more. And even though I don't try to attach it too much to those like successes and things like that, it's still always going to be there, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I walk into a room, they see a Latino guy with a bunch of tattoos. That's not gonna change anything,
right? And I think more so I realize now like how much there is a need for representation
Fair.
In our community.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, damn, like I don't know. I
get what you
with
mean.
It. I don't think you need to be the representer, but there is a need for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
for sure.
If you feel up to it.
I'm always going to bring my flag with me anywhere I go. I'm never going to be like, nah, man, I'm not.
Like
you know what I mean?
Let go of that Puerto Rican
never,
side of
never. My flag is always with me.
Okay.
Yeah, and my flag is always with me.
So that's enough.
Yeah, I'm always going to, you know, anybody disrespect the island, I'm the first person to talk up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I foremost put my name first.
Yeah, it's like get to know me first.
Get to know me.
Yeah.
I don't want you to automatically, you know, assume like, oh, he's Puerto Rican, he does this, he's Colombian, he does this, like. I don't want no stipulations on my name. Meet me and see how you like me. Or if you don't like me, that's cool too. A lot of people don't like me. A lot of people like me.
That's fair. Yeah. I agree. I want to know, what are the things that
I think, cause
people
I'm,
don't like about you?
I like to be very, I'm honest as a person. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm true to myself. So I'm not out here going to pretend with people. And I feel like a lot of people, and especially in content creation and stuff, they like to pretend. And they'll be friends for like the camera and stuff. But then like the moment that camera turns off, they won't even dap you up. You know what I mean? So they're like, that's my boy. But then that camera comes off, like, all right, man, and just walk away from you. Like, no conversation, but on camera, you're the best of friends.
That's actually happened to you?
That's happened to me a few times.
That's fake as hell. I'm not going to say who,
but yeah.
That's fake as hell.
Content,
oh my God.
You see some funny stuff in the content creator world. Even in the fight world, you see some funny stuff. They see you get an opportunity, or you could get them an opportunity, and all of a sudden they're like, bro, I love your show. I'm chilling, man. You're hilarious. And I'm like, oh, what part you like? And then they just kind of quiet down. I'm like, yeah.
Don't fake it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like the fakeness.
LR put me on to you.
I appreciate that.
I don't tend to watch a lot of shows on Snapchat.
That's fair.
But I did watch a few of the shows to get accustomed to you. And I was like, this is dope. This is kind of like a ridiculousness vibe.
Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Like you said, seeing it from a Latino, seeing it from someone from the Bronx who speaks your language, it does add another twist on it.
Yeah, what Joe got me in trouble. I put a rugby clip in there, and I was like, "Oh, only thing I know about rugby is like you wearing me used to rob kids," and it was like, "Yeah, you got to chill with that, bro." And I was like, "Damn!" But everybody from New York found that joke hilarious.
Yeah, I do think we have a harsher sense of humor.
I think so, but I was just like, "Oh, I thought that was a good one." They were like, "Bro, you can't say that."
Yeah, and not just New York. Let's make it specific. I think being from the Bronx gives you a harsher sense of humor.
Yeah, because you grew up a little differently. Yeah. And, you know, like, I don't know, you easily, like, shake things off. Like, I don't take things to heart as much.
Right. I think LR will tell you I've had some issues with insensitivity in my life. But I also think it's when, I don't know, like, I grew up with my family, like, just freaking violating me every single second. So I think when you learn to take a lot, you think other people could take a lot.
That's kind of what has happened. Or like the guys at Train Rule, right, in 10th Planet, mm-hmm. we rag on each other all the time. Like I got one of my teammates is Australian. Every time I see him, I'm making kangaroo jokes.
Oh my God,
I'm making things like that, and he gets used to it. I think he's back there right now. I was calling him like Crocodile Dundee and shit. Like, you got to mess with your boys a little bit, and I feel like the people that mess with me the most are like some of my best friends.
Yeah, but I think I deal with that a little bit more because I'm a woman.
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, I don't think men are usually like, do they comment on how harsh your jokes are? Or
sometimes I've had some people be like, yo, you gotta chill, bro. I'm
for
sorry.
Real?
Yeah.
Oh my God, like, what was something you said that someone was like, you gotta chill?
I can't say that.
You can't say
that? I can't do those, man.
I'm crying.
But no, like, it'll happen where you say something, they're like, bro, that's damn, man, that's too far. And I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah. Wow. How often do you train?
Excuse me. I try to train 3 to 4 times a week, mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. And try to mix it in with, like, a lot of my life. And, you know, my schedule's hectic right now, but I'm mm-hmm. trying to make everything work.
Yeah. I always said I've never been into sports, not gonna lie, but I always said if I was going to be in a sport, it would probably be a fighting sport.
Come try it. Everybody could come. Everybody that's watching. Yeah, guys, come to 10th Planet. Say Alex sent you, you get a free class.
Bro.
Yeah. LR could come too.
LR, would you go with me? Yeah. You would go? Are you serious?
I've always wanted to try. There you go. LR's on camera now saying he'll go.
Watch me get obsessed with it.
It's fun. It's good. You put people in chokes. It doesn't take long to choke anybody out. It takes like, if you get a good choke, it takes like 5 seconds. Put somebody unconscious.
You do that during
practice? So you'll do a class and then we'll roll afterward. Rolling is like sparring or live drilling. And you roll with the other person. Your goal is to get a submission or whatever your goal for that day is. Let's say you're training for a comp, like score points.
But when you're training, you're allowed to put someone else in a headlock to the point that they become
Well, you're supposed to tap. If you don't tap, you're going to take a nap. Yeah.
That's scary. I don't want to pass out.
Now. Well, you tap.
Okay.
All you have to do is say tap, or you like literally just tap on a person twice and they'll let go. Everybody's chill. Nobody, you can tell them, hey, it's my first day. Nobody's going to like try to kill you. But
okay, not on the first day.
No. Like, I got put out last week by like a 17-year-old kid. He put me in a triangle and I went unconscious.
And how does that feel when that happens?
It's fine.
Especially from a 17-year-old kid with
like. No, he's talented. Gael is that guy. But they, you know, it happens. You just get put in a choke and you're like, hey, I think I'm about to escape. And then the lights turn off and you just wake up and you're like, damn, I got put out.
Yeah. How do you, I always wondered for people in the fighting industry or probably sports in general, how do you take losses?
Damn. I'm really hard on myself. So even in my wins, if I didn't win, like I just had a match 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't do well in regulation. I won in overtime. Okay. And I was so upset at myself. I was like, damn.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, I didn't win well. I should have did better. And that's just me. And like my coach kind of told me, he's like, dude, you're putting yourself out there. That's the best you could do.
Yeah.
And if you're not, the only way you're losing really is if you don't learn from it. You know, if you go out there and you don't improve off it, then it's a loss. But if you get dominated, you got to like look at it and see what happened so you can get better off it. But if you're just sitting there losing and then you're just sulking in the corner, that's when you're really taking a loss.
Wow. I've never heard of that. Someone beating themselves up because they didn't win well.
I'm harsh on myself. Yeah. I'm
insane.
A lot of guys are like that. You know, we get used to it, but we end up not winning. We're like, or we win and we're like, fuck, man, I didn't win with a cool move, or I didn't win the way I wanted to win.
Wow. No. Were you raised like that? Like in a really harsh household?
Kind of, yeah. My mom was very loving, but she was strict. I love my mom. Little Colombian short woman. Played no games. Beat my ass, but in a nice, loving way.
Yeah. They say Colombian women have the best accents. Well, Colombian people in general.
They got dramatic ass accents. If you watch like novellas and shit, that's them. That's like the dramatic, like extend every goddamn word. Yeah.
I like the Colombian accent.
That's fair. I speak Puerto Rican Spanish.
Yeah, I like that accent too. Yeah, they're both good.
You thinking of like Anuel or like fucking Bad Bunny? Like that's
not Anuel. I'm thinking of probably more Bad Bunny. Probably more Bad Bunny.
When I say Puerto Rican accent, that's everybody think. I speak Puerto Rican Spanish. I speak broken Puerto Rican, New Yorican Spanish.
So you're like J-Lo, like...
I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I'll go with like a Big Pun or Fat Joe rather than a J-Lo.
Okay.
So I gotta ask, what made you guys start Casa Confessions?
Thank you for asking that. What made us start? Why, do you ask because we're so un-content creator-like?
No, I like it, but I'm just curious, like, whenever I see anybody start, I'm always curious, like, why? Because you see some people starting, like, you see a lot of Instagram people that are like, oh, man, I started because I got to get famous, right? Yeah. And then other people starting just because they want to hear their voice. Wow. Other people want to be the voice for the community. So it's like, why'd you guys get started?
That's a good question. I think I was looking at all the people around us, and we had a lot of people who were doing the corporate path or doing a 9-to-5, but then on the side, they were always trying to get some creative stuff going. And I think that definitely happens in New York because we're all like enslaved to the 9-to-5. Yep. And I feel like, especially on the East Coast, like you don't hear people just like dropping their job and starting a creative thing like you did, which is really cool. But yeah, I was just like, I felt like now was the time. So when we started, I was probably like, 23, almost 24. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I need to do something. I'm going to stay on this freaking corporate hamster wheel if I don't get out there and actually do something. Like, I want to, you know, put the people to the forefront that are already doing stuff. They're already singing. They're already making music videos. They're already doing their fun content, but maybe they don't have the platform for it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, instead of waiting for somebody to like come across your life and just be like, you're the chosen one. It's create those moments for yourself and create those moments for your community.
I respect that.
So I think I just wanted to create a vibe for everyone that I knew or everyone around me or everyone that looked like me that was involved in their entrepreneurial pursuits or creative pursuits. And we're doing it, you know, pretty early in their process, but it's like that deserves a spotlight too. And we all can create like a moment for ourselves. We don't have to wait to get on others, on someone else's platform and make their moment.
Yeah, be our own voice in that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know how you came up, but like, I know a lot of people can relate to me in this sense. Is like, when we were coming up, were you first generation or second generation?
I was definitely, I'm second generation.
Second generation.
Yes.
Right. You're second generation, right?
Yes.
I feel like with a lot of our families, you know, coming over first, second generation, they kind of were like, you got to get a good job. You got to get that job. And sometimes, you know, like, we'll see it. Like, I was a doorman for a little bit. And I got told by a bunch of my family, like, oh, that's a good job. It's a good job. And I hated that job.
Yeah.
No shade on any doorman, concierge, or nothing. Like, I hated it. It just wasn't for me. But everybody told me it was a good job because it was stable. Mm-hmm. You got good pay and you got like good benefits. But I hated that job, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get any way to be myself. And they're like, oh, you worked there for, you know, 25 years and you retire. I'm like, damn, I don't get to be myself till like 25 years in. Then I get to be myself and do what I want. So I feel like with the newer generation, they kind of have that push of like, try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom's real big on that. She's like, oh, but like, try. You know, if you fail, you failed, but at least you tried. We're starting like the uproot where our families would be like, oh, wow, like, we're American now, mm-hmm. but we still have our roots tied to that. And that's what I really love about, like, the Latino community is, even though we'll be here, you know, I'm born and raised in New York.
Yeah.
But I love Puerto Rico. I love Colombia. Right. I've been to Mexico a few times. Like, I those Latin roots is always going to be there.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I got a different upbringing, I think, being raised by my mom, primarily, who was born here,
mm-hmm.
and she was born in Brooklyn, raised in the Bronx, Manhattan, raised all over New York, to be honest. But yeah, so I was raised by like a Bronx, New Yorker mom.
Yeah,
who's Dominican, but that's different than like my cousins, for example, who were raised by their mom who like only spoke Spanish, and it was a different vibe.
Yeah,
like they have different experiences. Sometimes they have to translate for their parents. Sometimes they have to fill out paperwork. My mom, I guess compared to other people, maybe I was babied.
Okay.
Because, like, I'm still the type to ask my mom about paperwork.
I think we all do that, though. Like, I'll call mom, yo, Ma, what do you think about this?
No, but some people don't have that experience. My mom, for example, didn't have that experience.
Yeah.
My grandmother calls my mom asking her about paperwork. Yeah. So.
I feel you, like.
So, I don't think my mom could, like, I don't know, my mom. She's probably like, you couldn't live a day in my shoes.
Yeah, you're going to get that. My mom's real supportive. Sometimes she's a little rough on me, but she's supportive now. She's come around to a lot of what I'm doing now.
Right.
Kind of because she's seen it more like in a commercial sense. She's seen like some of the success.
Oh, that's
like, I think I told you I do Flex Fighters. I do the fight commentary.
Yes, right? Let's talk about that because we talked a little bit about Punch Up.
Yep.
But you're doing fight commentary. So how is that different?
So fight commentary, I'm at the actual events. Okay. I'm like right by the cage. I showed him a video. Like I'll get covered in blood sometimes, which sucks because I'll like, yeah, like sometimes Ooh. Somebody get, yeah. We just had a fight. Tyler McNett, he just hit a guy with an elbow. His like forehead busted open. He got blood on me and my buddy James.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine. You get used to it. But you're like cage side. You're like calling a fight in the moment. And they had a deal with Amazon Prime. So we were on like Prime Live. And I texted my mom. I was like, yo, go to Prime Live right now. And she's like, why? And I was like, just type it in. Check it. Awesome. She was like, what the hell? I hear your voice on TV. So it was a cool experience.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, Flex, we got two shows coming up in August. August 2nd and August 30th. So, yeah, come out. Watch a fight, guys. Watch people get knocked out. Mm-hmm. Have a drink.
Where can people chill. Watch that? How can people go find you?
So you go to Flex Fights on Instagram. And it's on Fubo TV. And then Amazon Live, it usually pops up. You type in Flex on both of those, mm-hmm. FLEX, just Flex, and then it pops up. Yeah.
So your Instagram is private.
Yes.
That is very interesting.
My personal Instagram is private. My Punch Up one is public.
Okay. All right, cool. What makes you, why are you so secretive?
I'm not. I just, it's funny because, like, people say, oh, you're in the comments, like, content creation world. You must, like the attention to have people. I'm like, nah, I don't. Like, I like being pretty private, and I like being chill.
Yeah.
Like, go walk my dogs and just be chilling.
I relate to that. And I think that's why I stay away from a lot of content creators. And I just stay in my own lane. I'm just like, I think I'd rather just create my own island. Because mm-hmm. whatever these other people got going on, save me from that.
Yeah, I've met some cool people. I've met some weird people. I got to do AnimeCon and Comic-Con, which was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but with that, I met some interesting content creators.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Describe interesting.
Like, kind of what I alluded to before, where, like, on camera, they're super buddy-buddy with you. Yeah. Then the moment we're like, all right, we're done with that, they just kind of walk away from you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this guy's kind of, like, kind of a dick. But, like, you got to just be like, all right, whatever. And I was with my boy Travis and Justo, and they were just like, just ignore it. And I was like, yeah, it's not worth it.
That's so weird.
You meet some weird people. Yeah. But, like, I mean, you guys... You haven't, luckily, you know, you guys have had good interactions so far, right, in podcasting?
With the people we've met?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think we, let me think about that. That's so true. We've had good interactions. And I think the people that we usually invite, it's like friends of friends.
Okay.
It's rare that we go out and find like people outside of our space. We try to do that a little bit, like mix it in, but it's like kind of vibe check people.
Fair.
Like I get a vibe like, okay, I think I will have a good conversation with this person. I don't know. And I'm very like particular.
So what do you look for? Like besides the vibe, like what are you looking for? Like what's like a red flag then?
Well, what's a red flag?
Yeah, what's like, nah, we're not having this dude on. Like, what's going to have him like, nah, I'm not dealing with that.
If I feel like safety would be compromised somehow.
Okay.
That's usually a thing. I don't know what makes you feel like safety would be compromised.
That's a fair question. Yeah, like
seems like a little wild, like a little unpredictable.
Okay. That's why you got to do jujitsu and stuff. So they get a little wild, you just choke them out.
just
start choking people out. That'll be a good moment. You choke somebody out on camera.
Yes. Oh my gosh, during the break he was telling me that I should practice, get into some MMA, get into some jujitsu, and I think you might see me in the ring.
I'm telling you guys, damn. All right, I say fight. I'm just saying train, bring him through, have you guys like learn and choke people out and just see how you feel about it.
Because I grew up fighting my cousins.
Okay.
I think we all did.
Yeah.
And that was always like the joy of my life.
Beating up your cousins.
Yes.
They're gonna watch this.
It was like, the joy of my life. No, it was my girl cousin. Shout out to Univille. It was like, and it's crazy because she's thinner, and I'm not. But we would be neck and neck. And I would, ever since then I was like, respect you. Like she would never
like swinging on her, or just like.
Why is it a blur? I don't think we would be. Like punching? No, we wouldn't be punching.
Okay.
It would be like, I guess, kind of like
grappling.
Freaking grappling. Yeah, we would try to like get one onto the ground.
Yeah, it's grappling. That's wrestling.
Literally, it was wrestling. Yeah. So, yeah, we would be wrestling. And then my older cousin, he would grab a quarter. And he would be like, whoever grabs it first wins.
Okay.
And then we would literally go crazy. He had issues.
Good guy. Shout out to older cousin.
And they would be laughing. My dad would be laughing too. I told you about my toxic upbringing.
Like, yeah, I'm with the toxic upbringing.
They would literally be crying, laughing. And then my aunt would be screaming like, she's going to kill her. And then I would just be like, bow. I would just be dragging her. So that's why I'm like, I think I have it in me.
Try it. I mean... Yeah, bring your cousin so you're comfortable and you could beat her up too. There you go. You could beat her up again.
But the crazy thing is no, training. The crazy thing is I wasn't beating her up. Like, it's like we would, like, it would, like, we literally had to be, like, someone had to, what is it, like, tap us out?
Yeah, like ref break?
Yes, literally like, had time. To call a break because no one would give up. Like, we would keep going for, like, an hour if they let us. Like, we were not letting go. And I was like, damn.
The interesting side is, I wonder if your family was betting on it. Like, the older cousins?
They definitely were.
They were betting on you guys?
100%. And they were laughing. They were, like, crying. Like, my dad, like, tears coming out their eyes. And then my aunt dying, like, they're going to kill each other.
That's what we got to bring back. You got to bring back family fights that you bet on. All right?
I feel like other people, because we would also do the dance competitions. Like, okay. I think people know about the dance competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you do that with your cousins?
I can't dance for shit, bro. I can Millie Rock, and that's about it. I got, like, a two-step, a Millie Rock, bachata, merengue, and that's it.
They would put us to dance, and they would vote on who danced the best.
Wow.
Okay, but then, and I feel like that's normal.
What was your go-to move?
And the crazy thing is I was never a good dancer, but I always loved like, hip-hop.
Okay, so you was, like popping and locking and shit?
I would be shaking my ass as a 10-year-old. That was like my thing. I wasn't really.
Okay, I'm not commenting on that. But I was thinking like you out here stomping the yard and shit.
Not stomping the yard. I was just, I don't know. I was being silly, I guess.
Fair.
I wasn't doing no bachata or nothing.
That's fair.
But I feel like everyone knows about the family dance competition.
Yeah.
Like competing with your cousins. Where my family took it up a notch was the fight competitions. I never heard of someone having that.
That's what we got to do. Every family, like, barbecue, you got to just, like, yo, y'all two are fighting now. Get into the little pit.
That is so crazy. It's only now having you that I'm realizing all the fighting that happened in my life growing up. But my cousin, he was sinister.
Okay.
He's lucky I'm not saying his name. He was sinister. What he would do sometimes... The throwing the quarter wasn't enough.
Because
eventually we didn't fall for that. It's like, bro, like, we're not doing that. We're adults now.
Okay.
He would plant seeds in each of our ears throughout the day.
So he had money on one of y'all for sure.
And he would go to her, mm-hmm. and he would be like, Alana said this about you. And then he would go to me.
I like this guy. He sounds like a nice guy. Like, I think I would get along with him.
He would go to me and be like, she said this about you. She said you're this. She said you're that. You gonna let her do that?
And then this sounds like a good guy. I like this guy.
We would get to the apartment and he was like, she said she wanna fight you. You wanna do it? And then he would set it up and it would be a brawl in the living room. And he was setting it up the whole day. That man is sinister.
That's the evolution of Casa Confessions, by the way, guys. Like, when you watch back in, like, 2 years and they're like, oh, why is she hosting her own little fights in the apartment?
Yes.
It's because of this episode.
Yes. So, literally, that was a part of my childhood. So, if this evolves into an MMA series of me fighting my guests,
yeah.
That was all in me. And it was encouraged by this guy.
And your cousin. Don't forget him. We got to give him the special... I'll never take away his credit, all right? He had you fighting for quarters.
That is...
All right? My guy had you in there. You're a paid competitor, technically.
And I think about that, I'm just like, the feminism in me is just, like, shriveling inside.
That you beat up your cousin for a quarter? Multiple times?
Thinking about the fact that he threw a quarter, and we went crazy.
So you got the high standards, but you'll fight for a quarter.
I don't do this anymore, but back in the day, yeah. Especially if you're feeding things in my ear, like, she said this, she said that. You're just going to let her speak to you like that?
Okay. So, so the manipulation works, but the money doesn't.
The manipulation. It was probably, I feel like reality stars probably go through that. I was like, damn, was I in a reality show? Because I think that's what they do. Like, the producers put stuff in their ear. So it's like, I already experienced that. Because from what I hear is that they'll put something in their ear, and then they'll put them in a room together. Like, all of a sudden, you're going to dinner.
I've been doing a little bit of, like, background work and, like, a little bit of stunt work for, like, a side gig. So I did, like, a stunt on Blue Bloods. That was fun.
That's dope.
But the only part that sucked about that is, like, you got to have a clearance letter for your tattoos. I have a bunch.
Yes.
So, like, they got me in long sleeves all the time.
Wow.
That shit sucks. But other than that, it's fun. That's dope. Even with that, you'll see the production where it's like a 15-second scene, and we'll be there for like 8 hours. So I would imagine reality TV, they'll do something like that, where they'll just like,
oh my gosh,
they'll plant little seeds and they'll edit the hell out of it.
Yeah. Do you see yourself doing more stunt work in the future? That's really cool.
It's a nice, I like it. It's a, I always, check. I got a, eh, it's not bad. But I always like movies. I got a bunch of like film tattoos and stuff. Yeah. They were a good escape for me when I was younger. So I was like, yo, like, you know, I'm in a good position right now. Let me try to do something I like. Mm-hmm. You know, as a side job, as another job on the side, Punch-Up's doing well, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But I'm chilling there, so I'm like, let me branch out a little bit, see where it goes.
And it's interesting that you're doing a show, to bring back to your show on Snap.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have Snap shows.
It's like a kind of a hard process to get the Snap shows. You have to like send in pilots, get approved. You got to like send a bunch of emails, check things out. Like I said, I think they took like a month and a half to get back to us. So we were just waiting. Like, did you like our shit or no? And like, they picked us up. So I was like, yes, hell yeah. But it's like a different experience there.
Yeah.
But I'll get a lot of college people will hit me up and be like, yo, your shit's hilarious. Like, there's a frat upstate New York. They love my shit. So.
Yeah. I could imagine just being in that waiting period, waiting for them to say yes.
Yeah. That was probably the most like, shitty part of it was just sitting there like, and I would text my boy Travis every day and I'm like, yo, did we get it? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, fuck. Yeah. So then I had to kind of just like stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And when I stopped thinking about it, that's when we got the hit back like 5 days later.
Yeah, that's so dope. And you mentioned your mom. I don't know if we said this on the break, but you mentioned your mom seeing you on Prime Live on that TV show. Like, what are moments like that for? I still haven't experienced like
You're gonna experience a moment like that. It's gonna happen.
Thank you.
It's surreal because like when you say you want to like pursue something or try something,
yeah,
it sounds outlandish to most people. Like, oh, bro, like everybody tries it. You're not gonna get it. You're not gonna make that, right? So it's a hard sell to most people. So when you finally get like even, you know, just a moment of success, it's like, oh shit, like wow, like good job, like, and that just that moment of like, I am proud of you, like that. Feels better than like a paycheck a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Because you get to show them like, yo, that work I've been putting in is worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure you've had this where you tell people like, yo, I'm going to start a podcast where you, you know, it happened to me. So, you know, maybe it's happened to you too, where you tell your friends like, yo, shout it out. And they're like, yeah, I got you. And they never do.
I think one thing about me, maybe that's the New Yorker in me. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm the type, I'll just start doing what I need to do.
Yeah, and that's like, fair. But I'm saying you might not get that outward support from the people you'd expect it from.
And I don't look for it, and fair. I don't expect it.
Fair.
And that might be the only child in me. That might be the everything in me.
That's fair.
I'm like, I'm going to get it with or without you. If fair. You see me and you respect me and you want to show support, then come along. But
that, that's a good way to look at it. I kind of was struggling at first because I was like, yo, some of my boys are going to shout me out. It's going to be awesome. And then no motherfuckers never did. So then I actually got support from people I never expected. And then it built up like different relationships because I'll have people in like Bethlehem showing me a bunch of love where every post they'll be commenting. They'll be hitting me up like, yo, you're killing it, dog. I'm like, oh, I appreciate you. But then I'll have some people in New York that I'm like, yo, bro, what's up? And they're like, yeah, I'm busy. I'm like, damn, all right.
And especially we live in the toughest city, New York. Like, no one shows up-and-coming people love in New York because we have so many greats.
Yeah, so what ends up happening, I feel, is like once you get some viral moments or you get a moment, that's when you have people hitting you up like, yo, what up, bro? And I'm like, nah. You ain't show me love back then. Don't show me love now.
Right. And I get it. I don't take anything personal, to be honest. I just keep it moving. And also, I just feel like I've heard that enough that, like, your first supporters will never be your friends.
Yeah. That's the best way I could put it. Like, I've had some of my friends ride or die for me, like Dre, Justo. They've shown me a lot of support, and shout out to them. They've been, since day one, they'd be like, you got this, bro. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've had other people where I'm like, yo, that dude's going to have my back.
Yeah.
Didn't. And
it's tough reality. I also think there's people that actively chase and look for community.
Yeah.
And that have kind of been putting those, like, what's it called? Like, putting those seeds out there before they started something.
Fair.
So, like, if you've always been supporting your friends, if you've always been supporting up-and-coming people, then sometimes you're more likely to get that love back. I think there's something that's to be fair. Said about that.
Yeah, no, I genuinely think it is. And that you know, that undeniable love is unique where, like, you can't buy that feeling. Kind of like what we were talking about before. Like, oh, my bad. Like, that feeling is, like, different. You have that support from somebody you love and somebody seeing you accomplish that. And you, like I said, you're going to get that soon.
Thank you.
It's going to pop off and then somebody's going to be like, yo, I seen you on this and that. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just a different feeling.
So thank you so much for being so open and honest about your, you know, that when it comes to your friends not supporting you all the time. But look at you now.
I appreciate that. We're trying to grow. Like, what I want to see, though, I want to see Casa Confessions grow. Where do you want this to go? Where do you want this to go? I know you got the pink phone and everything.
Thank you. I have a plan.
Okay.
I have a plan in mind for how we're really going to ramp things up soon.
Okay.
Where do I want it to go? I mean, I want it to be something that people know about. People know exists.
Fair.
And it's almost like, I mean, household name would be beautiful. But that a lot of people know about and that a lot of people are able to receive blessings off of and make money off of.
Nice.
I think that's the way you can hope for
and
when
you,
it comes to this.
You like alluded earlier to like having that voice. Like what's the importance of the voice you want to put forward?
I want the voice of people that I don't think you need to be at your end goal to have people love and respect what you do. I don't think you need to be. I think we have this thing where it's like, in order for me to put my product out there, in order for me to put my music, in order for me to put my business out there, it has to be perfect.
Fair.
It's like, no, you just need to start. So I want to be an example for people to just start and have your audience find you where you're at.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing, whether it's something creative or an entrepreneurial adventure. And I just think brown and black people and like people of color, you know, just need to get together and support each other, especially on the East Coast. Like you said, you know, because people can be stush out here when it comes to supporting other people.
Hell yeah. So like what do you want? If somebody wanted to get on Casa Confessions, what would they have to do? What would they have to like reach out to you? What do you think?
Now you're interviewing me.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I think if someone is, and I think that's the thing too. Some people probably just lay around and wait to be asked.
Yeah.
And it's like, I probably will ask you if you're my friend and you're doing something cool. But yeah, I think if you're intentional, like, yo, I want to be on your show. I think we can have even if you offer like a topic, like something that you think would be good for us to talk about or delve into, and just showing like that initiative and that you want to be on it. I'm like open to have a conversation with almost anyone.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most important thing, is like the openness and like putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every opportunity I just try, and I was like, yeah, I'll try that shit.
Yes.
And like, we didn't know each other. We just
exactly. Yeah. And look, we're here and we had a great conversation.
Great conversation.
So we have a few things that we do before we usually end the episode.
Okay.
So now is the Casa Confession moment of the episode. Okay. So this is like a harsh truth.
Harsh truth.
Okay. And it doesn't even have to be harsh, to be honest. It can just be like a lesson that you've learned even throughout this conversation, through your MMA fighting, through your show Punch Up, or just recently throughout the year, that you feel it in your heart to share with the audience.
Damn. Yeah. So I think the best thing I could say is just try, right? Like I said it earlier, like I'd rather try and fail than not try and look back and be like, oh man, I wish I would have done that. You know, like I've seen a lot of people in my life where they had a lot of goals and they never kind of put that forward. They always like pushed it off. Mm. And they never really got to have that shot to try.
Yeah.
So like I think the most important thing, like even if I don't succeed, you know, at least I tried. So my biggest thing for anybody I meet is, I'm like, yo bro, just try it. They're like, hey, I want to try this, I want to try to be a fighter, I want to try to do this. I'm like, yo, just try it, bro. Like, but if you're gonna try it, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't half-ass it. Mm. You know, like put your best foot forward, and if you're gonna try, try.
I love that. Yeah. And I think that's what people are seeing in this podcast. Like, you're seeing someone, two friends, me and LR, who had an idea and literally just started doing it. And you get better over time.
Yeah. It's not going to be great day one.
Yeah.
Even if it is great day one, it's going to get better day two. Right. Like, we can only get better. Right. And that comes with the drive to get better. And I feel like a lot of people don't get that. Like, some people just, oh, I want it to be perfect day one. I want to get a million followers day one. It's like, no, it doesn't happen that way.
I agree. That's a great note to end on. We also, so before we officially leave, please remind people about your show, like where to find you, and any projects that you want to show support to.
Yeah. So you could find my Instagrams are East Coast_AC. It is private, but I'll probably accept you. And then the public one is Punch Up_official. And I'm also working with Flex Fight Series. So if you go on Instagram, you just search Flex Fight Series. Great MMA promotion. I'll be there August 2nd. I'll be there August 2nd and August 30th. I'll be doing commentary. But I'll be in the commentary booth. If you come by, you'd be like, yo, what up, Ag? I'll say what up to you. Like, we'll grab a drink. I can't drink too much. Actually, I can't drink because I'll be on camera. But I'll say what up to you. And then if you're on Snapchat, just type in Punch Up in the search engine. We come up with a first MMA one. It's like a red logo. It's awesome. Hit me up anytime. If you guys have any fight clips, anything like that, send it to me. I'll include it. I have no problem including giving you credit.
Yes. And please follow at Casa Confessions Podcast on Instagram. If you're not already, please leave a rating and review wherever you consume this podcast. Definitely like and subscribe to this video. Also, we're on TikTok. We're everywhere. For my personal Twitter, @big_Lonnie. And yeah, please leave a rating and review again and like this video. So usually what we do at the very end of the podcast is we do a song of the pod.
Song of the pod. Yes. Okay.
So we play a song that we've been messing with lately and listening to. However, YouTube and Facebook, where we also post this podcast, at Casa Confessions Podcast, will demonetize us. So we're going to say bye to the visual viewers. Okay. And the song of the pod will just be for audio.
Okay.
But all right. Bye, guys. See you guys next time.
Take care.
Yay. Okay. So we'll get into
the
song of the pod.
Okay.
What's a song that you've been messing with lately?
Oh,
and I will play it on our way out.
Q, Take Me Where Your Heart Is, I think it's called.
Q, Take Me Where Your Heart Is.
Yeah, I've been listening to that shit on the train when I need like a calming moment.
Okay, and we could just rock out to this.
It's a great song. He's going to like this song. I feel it in my heart. Hey, you're going to fuck with this song. You heard this song before? I've been listening to this shit on the train. It's nice. Thank you. I know you know this song. I had a feeling. I like it. It's a classic, nice song. This is like, I'm on the train. I'm having a long ass day. I just listen to this and zone out.
This is a great song. Well, see you guys next time at the next episode. This was another great one.
Thank you so much. What's the song for you?
The song for me? Yeah. I'm doing double song
double
of the
song. Pod. I want to know your song.
Oh my God. This is so much pressure.
You put me in a spot.
We're going to change the whole vibe then.
Let me hear it. I like my chill songs.
Oh my God. I've been listening to a lot of Young Miko.
Okay.
And honestly, I think I just like her OG, like, good songs. So we're going to do a traditional one from last year. We're going to do Lisa.
Okay. If he was going like ratchet ass music, I would have put like Tokisha or some shit.
That's Tokisha's next episode. Thank you for
I got you.
All right, bye guys.
Bye. Guys.
Oh, follow the pod at Caustic Confessions Podcast on Instagram. Hell bye, yeah. Guys.
Take care. Follow it up, guys. Thank you.
Wrongs made. Wrongs made.